Rock a Bed, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Britton. Go by SEC Mike. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin. What's up, buddy?
They don't really matter. You know, the more I think about these bowl games, all that matters is the playoffs. These bowl games, I mean, we got so many opt-outs and everything. I can't blame them, so...
Don't the other teams get
we got more, you know, and our athletes are better, and okay. SEC's power conference. You know what? We're the best is yet to come.
Yeah. All right. So, well, I guess we just wrapped up an hour-long show in 10 seconds here. But, man, it's been a downer already for the SEC. But
yeah.
Let's not talk about that real quick, Shane. Let's talk about something good.
Yes.
And that is... MyBookie. So go check them out. Show presented by MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is a website. Promo code SEC. There's still time to get in on the action. Playoff games, NFL, NBA. Hell, baseball will be here before you know it. You know what?
Yeah.
So we got that going on. Then we also got our great friends over at Tennessee Legend Shade. The only way I'm getting through this horrible bowl season. Is my friend through Tennessee Legend. You know what?
Yeah, you need a quick pick-me-up. Be sure to stop off at one of these two locations in Sevierville or one in Nashville there. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And I tell you what, if your team's played so far, you may need that bonus gift just to cheer you up a little bit. But that's exactly what they'll do over at Tennessee Legend Distillery.
Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah. It's not so bad, Mike. Really, it's not. It's like, I feel like, you know, when they say, do you want the bad news first or the good news? You know, I feel like we just, basically what we asked for was the bad news. We got that out of the way. We got a lot of good news heading our way. Nobody remembers what you did in late December. They remember what you did January, you know?
Well, that, I hope you're right, Shane, because I'm going to be trying to forget this Gator Bowl as soon as I'm done talking about it, but... Man, for anybody that missed it, and I don't know how you could, a 13-7, what a barn burner this is. We did a watch party. Mizzou came right out, Shay, scored a touchdown. I said, buddy, we are cooking with gas.
Yeah.
More like just cooking with our ass here because they scored on the first drive. They didn't do shit the rest of the game. How about this, Shane? The first drive, 74 yards, touchdown.
Yes.
The last drive, which was like 2-minute desperation, 61 yards.
Yes.
That's 135 yards in the first and the last drive. The other nine drives, 125 yards total. So less in nine drives than we did the first and the last combined. So, man, what a calamity this was. And now we're sitting here. And I had forgotten all about this, Shane, but hell, we got Mizzou fans saying this. So I'm sure they'll find... You know, this ain't me trolling. This is what they're saying. And hell, I completely forgot. Eli said, hey, this is the best AFT I've ever had here.
Brother.
8-5. Now, where are we at? We drink. And again, I'm not firing the guy because we lost the stupid bowl game. But that's kind of hard to sit back and remember. 8-5, best team ever here, according to him.
Right. I mean, Mike, oh my gosh, short of that first drive, nobody could take that first drive away from us, right? let's just take a moment of silence for that first drive of the game because it was awesome. And after that, it was an absolute train wreck. Shout out to the defense keeping them in this damn football game. But I really don't know this. I have seen scared money. You know that old saying, scared money don't make money. You know, man, that was scared money all night long. We were just basically handing it up to Gut over and over again. They didn't trust their quarterback. They didn't trust their receivers. They didn't trust anybody. And honestly, man, it was pathetic. It was lethargic. It was one of the worst offensive performances I've ever seen come from a Mizzou Eli Drinkwitz football game. It blew my mind.
Oh, wait, excuse me. Huge correction. Not the best roster, most talented roster.
Yeah.
What the hell's different? I mean, this is a game based on talent, but where they didn't have talent, obviously, Shane is that quarterback. And I don't know if you caught any of it. I don't know if the cousins did. When Bo Prabula jumped in the portal, I did emergency podcast.
Yep.
And I said, hey, we're in the Zollers era now, so we'll – not that the bowl game, a bowl game should never be like a final verdict, but I think we'll get a lot from this bowl game in terms of where we're at with quarterback. And Buddy, he ain't it. At least not yet. He was 12 of 22, 101 yards and one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, we got the beast of all beasts back here, Shane Ahmad Hardy, fourth in the country in attempts, second in rushing, fifth in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
These are his season stats here. So what a beast he was, but it was all for naught because you can have a good defense. You can have arguably the best running back in the country. But if you don't have a quarterback and your offensive line struggles in key games, you ain't going to do much, are you?
No, and we knew, I would imagine, that the conversations were made behind the scenes on what the future of quarterback there is in Columbia, right? I mean, we can all agree to that. I feel like that's why we had a portal. That's why we have Matt coming out here with the starting reps. My concern, Mike, is the last time that this team played was November 27th, almost a month ago. And this is the product. We had almost an entire month. Not for just one drive, right? We had a month to prepare Matt Zollers to go out here and get those starting reps with those ones. And I saw a scared little coach over there on the sideline, afraid to give him those opportunities until it's crunch time, right? Until we're down and we need to score. And guess what? We're moving the fucking ball. And I'm sorry to cuss, Mom, but it ticks me off that, because I've seen this with other teams. Texas A&M, we saw it earlier. It's like when their back's against the wall and they got to play up-tempo offense, we have some offense moving here. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty of having Roberts and Hardy and all these guys, because then you can truly become two-dimensional. And that makes Hardy's life easier. Here he is. I think he's got the most rushing yards as a Mizzou running back ever. I don't know. Maybe he's got to be up there. But damn, he had to earn every damn one of those because they just punched him up the gut every single time. With right. 8 and 9 in the box.
And I was pretty upset. Some of the cousins are asking us to talk about it. They pulled Zollers on the last play for concussion protocol. Yeah. Literally, again, and I support, you know, we got a player safety. We got to keep these guys safe and all this, that, and the other. I mean, you can't pull them on the last play. I mean, that was crazy. But again, do I got more confidence in Zollers or the walk-on that came in there? I mean, it's 6-1, half a dozen in another. You know what I mean? It's not like we lost Zollers for a play, so that's why we lost the game. Hell, he would have. I don't think he would have hit the receiver in the hands if he was in the game. So I don't think that really cost us. But you know, let's say he was. I don't know, Gunnar Stockton or something. Uh-huh. I can't imagine pulling Gunnar. You know. Sugar Bowl, last play of the game, concussion protocol. I think it would be a lot bigger story if this was a much more marquee game, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I keep looking at these 12 of 23, averaged 4 yards a completion. You know, I mean, God, it was a tough watch. It was a tough watch, and it's just a tough look because we sit here day in, day out, you know, basically putting this conference on a pedestal. And I truly think that when you watch, and I said this when Marla was on, you watch these two teams, they're not the same. They're not built the same. What's sad is I almost feel like if we switched coaches, like Mizzou would have won by 3 scores. And I'm not trying to shit on Drink here, but like somebody's got to take responsibility. And I know he does a little bit after the game, but I just felt like, when you watch Team A and Team B, if we're playing dodgeball, I'm going to pick that yellow team because they look better, right? And we just didn't get a better football game. It was just absolutely embarrassing for the conference.
Mm-hmm. And now we go forward with offensive coordinator Chip Lindsey.
Yeah.
We don't know about the quarterback. We got a more difficult schedule.
What do you do? I mean, I'm not trying, man. Maybe I am, Mike. Maybe I am. I'm just sitting here, and I feel like we took 3 steps back. Everything that has been that has made us to this point here. We've got the expansion. We've got extensions, multiple extensions. You know, and we got one of the best running backs. We see the money that's being poured in for the NIL and. Dude, I see a team in reverse, and then we're going out here getting coaches that haven't proved me anything. It's almost like a last-ditch effort hire, and now our quarterback that we've got faith in comes out here after a month of preparation. I'm just like, dude, I'm worried about Mizzou next year because the schedule ain't easier. They ain't got that cupcake schedule next year, brother. They're going to be battle-tested.
Right, and I like the fact about halfway through the game, Shane said, "Hey, can we get Bo from the portal? Can we
get him
back?
Get him on the phone, man."
I mean, we may have to at this point in time. So, yeah, rough outlook here. And we'll probably hear soon, Shane. We'll do like a stock report, but of the entire SEC. But you know, three steps back, maybe that's a little harsh.
Yeah,
because again, we're 8-5, not necessarily a massively impressive 8-5. Yeah. But if you're 8-5 and that's a down year, that's better than most of these teams in this conference can do in on a bad year.
Yeah, I'm looking at your SEC wins, right? You got Auburn, fired coach. You got Arkansas, fired coach. Mississippi State probably should have fired their coach. You know, South Carolina, Shane Beamer, one of the worst years he's had over there in Columbia. So, yeah, I mean, I defend Mizzou probably more than anybody. But sometimes you're just going to have some accountability.
Well, we could also say, Shane, hell, who do we lose to? Coach of the year, Clark Lee. Mike Elko was in the running. Brett Venables was in the running. Kalen DeBoer still coaching deep into the playoffs. Right. So, hey, we just lost to some elite teams.
Apparently Virginia's got the best defense in the world. So, yeah, maybe I'm looking at – I like it. Glass half full. That's my New Year's resolution, to be a little bit more optimistic.
Yeah, just like our man Shin. Appreciate you, Shin. 74 degrees in South Texas, sitting on the back patio, Modelo in hand.
Hell
smoke
yeah.
Rolling on the pit for some meats and that SEC podcast to top it off. Perfect Sunday evening for this guy. Man, that sounds good.
That sounds awesome. Shin, I am on my way. Let's wrap this up, Mike. I got places to go.
All right, well, speaking of places to go.
The legend.
Another loss here, Shane, for the SEC. At least this is the one we should have done a damn watch party for. It was exciting, at least. It went down to the wire. Yeah. But LSU lost to Houston 38-35. Where was this Connor Wigman when he was at A&M, Shane? Hell, Jimbo would still be the coach. As horrible as that is to say. He'd probably still be the coach. If old Connor Wigman looked like this, he 4 touchdowns, I believe, mm-hmm. 0 interceptions. Michael Van Buren actually had a pretty good game. 3 touchdowns, no picks. Tredez Green was a beast.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to see what he looks like in this Lane Kiffin offense. He had 2 touchdowns. But Barrion Brown returned the kickoff for a touchdown. He returned another one to the 50. And LSU jumped out 14-0. I was like, buddy, I was way wrong about this game. And then, you know, it's just so weird, Shane, where I said, I don't know if you recall, last night I said, hey, if you tell me Virginia scores 13 points, then Missouri's whooping that ass.
Yeah.
If you would have told me this LSU that can't do anything on offense was going to score 35, I would have said, God, put the mortgage on LSU whipping Houston's ass. But apparently the defense forgot to make the trip to the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, and that's a shame, right? Because that's been the one saving grace of LSU this year. It's like, well, they got a good defense, right? Unless they're playing Vanderbilt or Houston. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, not what wasn't Vanderbilt. Who was the one that they get? Here's the deal, Mike. I feel like LSU was probably had the most cards stacked against them coming into a bowl game, right? I just felt like the way everything has happened with Coach Kelly, now Lane Kiffin, and, you know, we're seeing a lot of opt-outs and stuff. This is one of the teams that I was worried about the most. But, damn, they played well. I feel like the offensive line, obviously, is still a mess, right? And especially when it's thinner, it's not better. I felt like penalties, just mistakes after mistake. You know, they're up 14-0, and you got them third down, and then you rip Connor's head off, you know? Then you get third again. It's like every time that you finally had something positive happen, it seems like there's always a yellow flag somewhere on the football field, almost 100 yards in penalties here. The silver lining for me was there was some stars emerging. You talked about Tredez Green. I feel like, man, Lane Kiffin, even though he left this game early, probably should have stuck around to talk to him for a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, shout out to our buddy Cole Kublik. I don't know if you saw it, but he gave Kiffin a plastic bag to take with him to the grocery store so he don't have to steal them carts anymore.
Yeah, nice, absolutely. Still was a great game, and I kind of ticked off the way it ended because rarely in this game do we get to see an onside kick work, and it went right past two LSU. I was like, man, this could have been an epic ending, and it unfortunately wasn't.
Yeah. So again, rough night for the SEC and the bowls, yeah. But you are not putting too much stock into it.
No. I it was good seeing some of this talent that we've talked about do something. You mentioned Berrion Brown. I was like, how many times are you going to kick to this guy? You know, he's going to break your heart, coach. You keep doing it. So I thought he was electric. I thought Tre'Davious Green was really, really good. I thought even the quarterback did well. I felt like there were some moments, especially when they got him outside the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to create something. And say what you want, man, this came down to a really good football game.
Yeah, a lot better than the other one we watched.
Yeah. Yeah, we picked the wrong one, didn't we?
Well, I'll tell you what is the right one, hopefully, Shane.
Zach.
Let's get into more positive talk here.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about the Sugar Bowl, Shane, where the SEC's guaranteed to win. Unfortunately, they're guaranteed to lose. Because we got Ole Miss and we got Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Couple days away here, Shane.
Yes.
Cannot wait for this matchup. They met already once this season in Athens. Georgia won it 43-35. Both these teams, just one loss on the season. So I think, you know, a case could be made that Ole Miss is perhaps the most disrespected team in this entire field here.
Yeah.
With an elite record, only one loss again in conference play on the road. Thoughts on Ole Miss, Georgia as we get closer here. Thursday night game. Man, what a showdown it's going to be.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to want to talk about other games besides this one. And I think that's a shame because this may be the best game in the college football playoff. And I'm just saying that because I told you a couple of weeks ago that Texas A&M and Miami is not going to be a game. I was wrong. You know, I told you Alabama was not going to beat Oklahoma. I was wrong, you know, and it just I'm sitting here and the knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, Georgia's going to win this game. They've already done it, but what if they don't, right? And I feel like America's team here, Ole Miss Rebels, they're playing for something special, man. And I'm not saying Georgia isn't, right? Because we keep having the same conversation. What if it's Georgia and Bama? What if it's Georgia and Alabama? What if it's, you know, I feel like we keep saying the same thing. We keep expecting the same games, but brother, do not sleep on Ole Miss. If this team gets hot defensively, offensively, they could be unstoppable. So I feel like this may be the game of the playoffs here.
Hey, shout out to Big Buford here. Thoughts on this comment, Shane? Winner of Ole Miss Georgia is winning the national championship. Did you see it?
The winner of the absolutely. I can be convinced, Mike, that any SEC team that wins this weekend has a chance to take it all, right?
Yeah.
I think you could say we're going to talk about Alabama here in a second. I feel like it's another one. Just all it takes is a little bit of momentum going. And momentum's real, man. And if you got it in the college football playoffs, watch out. You could win the whole damn thing.
Any concern, though, Shane, for this man who's played very well, old Gunner?
Uh-huh.
But while the defense for Georgia has really turned a corner ever since that Texas game, they've been dominant.
Yes.
But Georgia Tech, I know Alabama. Alabama's a little deceiving. They had a lot of short yard. Now, they took care of business, so I'm not knocking them.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a ton of production against Alabama. And again, Alabama, I think, has got a really good defense. But, you know, any concern going into this one that the offense is kind of sputtering a little bit here? I did the football, Shane, and again, take this for what it's worth, but I was kind of surprised. The football is actually favorite Ole Miss to win this game.
It's like Jason says, you're never wrong, Cousin Shane. You're just painfully incorrect often. again, brother, you know, that's the problem. A lot of these Ole Miss wins we didn't talk about because maybe they were against inferior opponents. You know, yeah. I feel like they didn't get enough respect because the opponents they were playing. I mean, when they beat Tulane 45-10 the first time, if I would have told you Tulane would be a college football playoff team, more people would have tuned in and said, damn, they got something special over here. But right. they didn't, right? And same thing with Georgia. I felt like a couple of bad breaks, because that's what it was. That game could have been a lot closer. So, yeah, I do not think a 12-1 Ole Miss team has gotten near as much respect as probably they deserve. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The best part about this year, as opposed to like last year when we're saying, man, well, let's don't go to the SEC championship. You know, it's a bad – and then you lose to Florida. Well, you're now in it. You are in the dance. And the fact that you're there, you have – like, there's no one to blame. Forget Lane Kiffin. He's gone. This is a family now. Go in here and try to win this thing. But, dude, I will tell you, I am glued to Kirby Smart clips that are leaking out. And I don't know if he's a part of this, but you better believe his ass is chewing every teammate down there. Georgia will be ready for this game. So there's no doubt in my mind they will not be overlooking Ole Miss either.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot to be mindful of, Shane. There's a layoff.
Yep.
We got the portal opening. Mm-hmm. Opens on Friday.
Makes sense.
Day after this game. Let's kick it over to Kirby, who's asked about it. You know, where's your priorities? We've got this huge game, roster management. This is he's kind of like, I don't want to call him the professor because that's your nickname, but he's like the dean of the SEC now. Let's kick it over to the dean here.
We're focused on this team. I think it would be, you know, remiss to say that we're focused on roster management. We're not focused on it. We're focused on, you know, prep and getting better. And for a while, it's been like intrinsically looking at ourselves and asking each player, did you come here to develop? Did you truly come here to develop? Because if you did, all your buddies are out there right now. Everybody's, you know, announcing what they're doing. I'm announcing that I'm going in the portal. I'm announcing that I'm resigning. How about you announce that you're getting better and you're going to practice and like actually do what the 20 and 30 years of college football players did before you, which was practice in December when they're on good teams and get better. Because if you're going to play somewhere else, you know what you need to do. You need to get better. If you're going to play here, you know what you need to do. You need to get better. If you want to go to the National Football League and play, this is your last chance to get better. Because they're not going to give you much opportunity. They're going to cut you or keep you based on how you do. They don't get to practice in pads but so many days. So development occurs in December for us, and that's what we've been focused on.
How about that? Novel idea, huh, Shane? Focus on your development.
Yeah.
That you make yourself more valuable. That's it. This seems like what we should be doing here.
Sounds like the emotional, the motivating text Mike sends me every morning, you know? He's like, I'm not telling you to show up on time, but, you know, you want to make it in the bigs, you probably need to be there on time. Learn to read, you know? I feel like this is the exact same thing that he's been preaching since he's been down there at Athens. And I feel like that's part of the reason, if not most of the reason, why those kids are there. They're there for a short stint to get to the NFL. And one thing that Georgia has done year after year is put tons of talent in the NFL. And not just put them in there, they thrive, right? And that's why, you know, Georgia, say what you want, the way that they're structured down there, it's like a NFL team as it is. So they're ready, they're prepared, and I feel like these are the right comments to say.
So any concern at all? And before you answer, because when I ask you if there's a concern, you're always like,
nah.
Get the hell out of here.
Sound like my doctor. Nah, I'm fine.
They go from December 5th, that was the SEC championship.
Yeah.
To January 1st. That's a long time, Shane. That's nearly a month by my math there. Any concern that's maybe a little bit too long of a layoff?
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a lot of circumstances surrounding last year's game.
Yeah.
But it was somewhat similar last year, and I think the layoff really affected Georgia against Notre Dame. Any concern that it affects them against Ole Miss?
Yes. Yes. A lot of concern. Prime example, Mike, today I went golfing for the first time in 15 days. And I thought, hey, it's like riding a bike. I'll just get out there. Nope. Two went in the water. So I'm just saying, you know, yeah, I was rested. I felt good out there. But I feel like taking time off, especially at that speed, right? Because they're not practicing at game speed. But, you got, especially for a guy like Gunner, and you know, this, these, those tiny mistakes or the hesitations that may lead to a mistake. We saw it last year when they played Notre Dame. I felt like what hurt them was getting a week off. So, yeah, I do believe that it could hurt you. But once, if you could get past this one, I feel like game on. You know, I do feel like if you can get past this round of the playoffs, you're in pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm. And then how about, let's flip it to the other side, Shane. How big of a concern? Because I've not heard anything official, so mm-hmm. I don't even know. This. I mean, he could be 100% for all I know. But Kiwon Lacy,
yeah,
shoulder injury in the last game. He exited twice. The second time he didn't come back.
Yep.
Now, they certainly have not heard anything that says he won't play or anything like that, but you got to wonder how effective one of the best running backs, if not the best in the country, he shattered the Ole Miss record for rushing touchdowns in a season. Lacy, concerned, if he's not 100%, you know, how effective can he be against a Georgia defense that is, they're playing the best football they've played the entire season. They're playing it right now. You know, that could be the difference in the game, not having Lacy out there, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, preparation for him being out there, you know. So I feel like they're anticipating Lacy to be out there. I think he'll be suited up. You know, I'd love to see him go. I'm not saying that he'll make the whole time, but you definitely want Georgia to have to prepare for that, even if it doesn't. It's like I told you about that documentary I watched with John Elway. Remember when Terrell Davis, he had that migraine coming on? He's like, Coach, I can't see. He's like, I don't need you to see, all right? The ball ain't coming to you. I just need them to think that it is. So I feel like that's worst-case scenario. I want them to think that Lacy's going to get the ball 20, 30 times in this football game. So, yeah, I do think that he'll be a part of it. I just don't know, you know, the limitations he'll have.
Hey, great question from Michael Specs here. Will Kiffin even let Kiwon Lacy play?
I don't know. Maybe texted him, right?
I think this is obvious. So I'm not asking you if it is a disadvantage, because clearly it is. But and I think everything we've seen from Pete Golding we've liked thus far.
Mm-hmm.
But how big of a disadvantage is it, Pete Golding, game two as a head coach? You know, that's how many national championships Kirby's got. You know, he's the greatest coach in the game. How big of a coaching mismatch is this here?
I want to say that's a tough one, man, because, you know, we always talk about you can't be a coach and a coordinator, and we don't see too many of that working. But the fact it's this late in the season – you know, that's one thing Pete says. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. You know, I do defense. Charlie does offense. That's it. So I don't know. When I think of coordinators, I really like Ole Miss coordinators. But I love Kirby Smart, you know. And I feel like that's kind of that's like a wild – like a you know, you're just sitting there and deuces are wild. You got – that's Kirby. He is a wild card, and I feel like he amplifies whatever football team he's a part of. So Pete could be there, but he's not there right now.
And then how much do you take into fact that these two have already played?
Yeah.
And we've got a 43-35 ball game. And if you recall, I know it's been a while ago, but maybe the Cousins have forgotten, but Ole Miss came out here, and it was the first time, Shane, very first time of the entire run of Kirby Smart that his team allowed five consecutive touchdowns to open a game. That's what Ole Miss did to them. So that, I mean, basically they were having their way with them, and then to Georgia's credit, they locked it down in the fourth quarter. They've been pretty damn awesome ever since then on the defensive side of the football. So maybe something clicked in that game, but the fact that these two have played, how much do you think that factors into this one? Like, will we get a similar game? When we get completely different, we're both sides making the adjustments. What do you think of round two here?
Same conversation we had just a week ago with Oklahoma and Alabama. You know, we kept saying, does that give an advantage to either team? Not necessarily, but I do think that it gives an advantage to maybe a unit, maybe a individual even. You know, there's like maybe if somebody had your number as a defensive tackle, you kind of picked up on what he was doing, but it was too late in the game. You got better because of it, so it doesn't happen the second go round. So I feel like little things like that, personal, like individual battles, it may help. But at the end of the day, I don't think it gives a – because we're not talking home field now, right? So it's not necessarily a huge advantage. So, brother, I feel like the fact that everybody has kind of shown their cards – I feel like it makes for a better football game second go around.
Hey, and speaking of that, now again, you always hear stuff.
Yeah.
We won't know till the actual game gets here. But it sounds like again, this could be totally off, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot of Ole Miss fans there.
Yeah.
And there may not be as many Georgia fans, Shane. Georgia was just in the Sugar Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, heck, I mean, this is we all know how it is here at Christmas, New Year's. Georgia, if they win this game, mm-hmm. and I think their fans, I know the fans expect to win. Next game's in Phoenix, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we go to New Orleans? And then just over a week later, go to Phoenix? You know what I mean? It's almost like saving your money. Whereas Ole Miss, it's a little bit closer. Uh-huh. You've literally never been in this position in a national quarterfinals. So, again, taking that all into consideration, and maybe this is just talk that won't amount to anything, but let's say Ole Miss has the advantage in the crowd. Let's say, and again, I don't think it's going to be like 90 to 10 or anything, but,
yeah,
you know, if it's 75-25, which I think that's kind of realistic based on what I'm hearing, how big of a factor, if at all, could that be?
Well, I mean, if you have 75% of the fan base, I think it's huge. Similar every time Georgia's in the Mercedes-Benz, right? You know, I feel like they have a home field advantage, not just because it's there, but because I feel like it's easier for fans to get there. This case in point, I mean, Ole Miss, they're not living for tomorrow. They're living for today. They're blessed and they know it. You know, this is their championship game. It's one game at a time, and this may be the last chance that you get to see a playoff game. That's the mentality you need to have here. Georgia's like, ah, shit, you know, it's another one, right? Just another one. But I'm not sleeping on the dog fans because they travel well as also. So, brother, I don't know. I don't know if there's a distinct home field advantage here for Ole Miss. I just know that the place is going to be absolutely electric.
But if it is,
yeah,
could that be the difference in them winning?
Could be. You know, if there was a list of could be the factors, I would probably put it in the top five, you know, okay. But definitely not the top three. I'd say like the 4 or 5 area.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they're just – point being, they're going to need everything to, you know, as much as they can get in their favor, the better. You know what?
Let me ask you. I mean, we're talking portal, right? That's one thing that Kirby was bringing up. And I know Georgia is going to get poached. That's just the nature of it. But Ole Miss will too. And do you think that would hurt Ole Miss kind of dealing with this, you know, if especially if they get a win here, because we're hearing Lacey's going to LSU, we're hearing, you know, all this stuff. Do you feel like that's something that Pete could kind of lose the reins on a little bit because he's never been in that type situation?
What is the exact question, though? I'm struggling. Just, you said Ole Miss, yeah, will they struggle with the portal?
It's just such a shitty time to have a portal open up for all these football teams.
Yeah.
But don't you think that it would hurt maybe Ole Miss a little more than it would Georgia in the playoffs? Like, just make it a little bit more, like, more drama.
You're saying as soon as the game's over, or are you saying win or lose, or regardless?
Let's say Ole Miss wins, right? Uh-huh. Let's just take best case scenario, Ole Miss wins. There's a lot of Ole Miss players that are going to be hitting that portal. And do you worry about them moving forward if that happens?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot hitting the portal if they win.
Yeah.
Because there is an exception. If you're in the playoff, you get extra portal time.
Yeah.
Now, again, there may be guys that are leaving, but I don't think people are going to be walking away from a semifinal run.
Yeah.
To jump into the portal.
Yeah, I hate it. I'm just going to keep highlighting how much I hate the portal. Not that I hate the portal, just I hate when it is. And, you know, and I get why it is because of the school year, but come on. Come on. Come on. Stop trying to put the student back in student athlete.
Hey, come here to play school.
No, this is ball, man. This is what you start paying, you know. It's like, this is a league, brother, and I feel like there should be a clause. You know, if you're overseas because of something, you know, they have that little clause that says, okay, we'll start when you get back. I just feel like they should have that clause for the collegiate athletes in college football.
I hear you. But yeah, no, certainly, yeah, going through this for the first time. But now, again, it's not like Pete Golding is managing the portal by himself. They've got an operation down there at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And I know some of it walked out the door and went to LSU, but they have absorbed the people that we're at LSU. So,
yeah,
going through this for the first time as a head coach, Pete Golding, it'll be a juggling act to be sure.
Yeah.
But it's not all on his shoulders.
Right.
I think they have the best NIL operation in the country, Ole Miss does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying the most money. That's probably Oregon, Texas, A&M, you know, places like that. But when it comes to the best NIL people running it and things of that nature, I think it's down there at Ole Miss. So I think Pete Golding, it's not that much on his shoulders. I really don't think.
Did they keep the GM there in Oxford?
No, he left.
Ah.
But the guy that runs the NIL,
yeah,
he's an Ole Miss guy through and through.
Okay.
And he hates Kiffin now. No, I don't know if he hates him, but people are just talking out of their ass. Like Geraldo, Ole Miss had the best NIL with Kiffin. It's not these coaches, man. It ain't these coaches that are organizing the money. I can promise you that.
No, no.
Man, now it was Brian Kelly when his ass was on the line. Remember, I'm gonna match donations or whatever. Now that, maybe that's a little different, but. No, they had to do that because they were so far behind Ole Miss.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
This is across the board. That's not a shot at – I mean, Josh Heupel ain't out there getting the money for Tennessee. Tennessee has – they have an elite NIL operation as well.
Yeah. But hey, wins and – you know, wins will make it a little bit easier for those checks to get stroked, you know?
Oh, for sure. But losses too.
Yeah. Get them out of here.
That's why LSU went all in, because they were disappointing a year ago. You know what?
Absolutely.
Hey, and then one other from Kirby real quick. I just thought this was interesting, and I know our Texas listeners will appreciate it, because I didn't know how he was going to take it, Shane. Well, there was a lot of people felt betrayed when old Muschamp landed in Austin. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like Kirby is one of them, though.
Yeah, Kirby, were you aware that Will was interested in coming back to full-time coaching? And just what was your reaction to him taking the opportunity at Texas?
I'm so happy for him. He loves coaching. He loved coaching when he was here. It was hard for him to step away, and he felt like he needed to. And I had so much respect for him. And, shoot, he helped us replace him with the guys we got, and he helped us tremendously in that role. He helped us tremendously this year throughout the year, and he's been really good to me personally, and he's been great to Georgia, and he's been really good to a lot of players that he's recruited. So when he had an opportunity to jump back in, I know he loves it. I think he missed it dearly. You know, he talked to his family about it, his wife and his boys, and they all supported him. And he's going to a great place to work for a great man. And there's not many, you know, better opportunities out there to go coach and play than a place like Texas, where you got a lot of infrastructure in place to help you. So wish him nothing but the best.
Let me ask you something, Shane.
Do you?
Do you think Kirby is looking forward to recruiting against Will Muschamp?
No,
because those are two guys that are locked in and obsessed with it. You know what?
And it's different, you know.
Yeah,
he's not in Columbia, South Carolina anymore. He's down there with that old money, you know. So yeah, I definitely feel like they're gonna cross paths. But more importantly, man, what's the schedule look like next year? Do you got by that Georgia or Texas schedule next year?
Yes, sir. Here's Texas.
Damn it.
No Georgia.
Yeah.
But they may meet in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Playoff or who knows?
It's just, you know, I love these guys because they're buddies, right? Mm-hmm. Say what you want. At the end of the day, they are best buds. There's a reason he went down there. But there's just something about getting one over on your buddy. So I guarantee you, he's looking for an opportunity to make his name special again, you know? So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to, Shane?
What's that, my friend?
If the Cousins need to get the hookup on some tickets.
Uh-oh, where do you go?
Go check them out over at SeatGeek. Probably should have reminded you before Christmas, but go check them out. Maybe you got money burning in your pocket.
Yes.
And you're, hey, I want to go to a bowl game. Yes. I want to go to a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Basketball now is worn up, so that's pretty awesome. You can get some really cheap basketball tickets over at SeatGeek. Go check them out. And most importantly, don't forget the promo code, Shane, SEC10, to get 10% off over at SeatGeek. I'll put a link in the description. You can find it there as well, but very simple, SeatGeek.com, or just download the SeatGeek app. And all you got to remember is that promo code SEC10.
Yes.
They made it easy for you to get you 10% off over at SeatGeek on tickets, sporting events, concerts, all that jazz. They got you covered over at SeatGeek.
Everything. And I'll tell you, there's some concerts I didn't even know were in the area. Now, I jumped on here, got a discount. And if I want to go, I know exactly where that concession stand is.
I think you go for the concessions more than the guy.
I love the interactive maps, you know, because I like to scout out the territory before I arrive.
Shin says Kirby only acting happy because he whipped our ass every time we played. Had been the other way, he would have been a big old frown on his face.
Yeah, sir.
Bobby says Kirby's jealous of Muschamp's hair.
Oh, well. Is he going to bring back the, is like the glasses going to be a thing on the sideline? You remember?
Yeah. Then all day trade, dogs roll. Most consistent team wins. Go dogs. Of course, we were saying the same damn thing going into Notre Dame.
Yep.
And we were wrong. We were wrong.
I thought you were going to be optimistic. You were doing so well. Then you bring up Notre Dame again.
Well, we got Ole Miss. They're pretty. Maybe I'm just being optimistic for Ole Miss.
Damn.
America's team.
I can't keep up with you. It's like playing chess.
Well, that's what's going to be happening in Pasadena, Shane. As, oh, no, I did the footballs, and I said, oh, shit, Shane's already locked up Alabama.
Did you remember they didn't play anybody?
That's true. That is true. But Indiana, slightly favored on the footballs here. This looks like damn Georgia versus Marshall or something, but yeah, so I'm a little less optimistic, but hell, Bama's getting healthy at the right time. Ty Sips is heating his ass up. And, you know, that's about all I got headed into this Thursday showdown, Shane. Number one versus number nine, Alabama, Indiana. Man, we're getting closer to kickoff here. This is the greatest scene in college football. I cannot recommend it enough for anybody that hasn't been. Go check out the Rose Bowl. Just wait for Tennessee to one day get there. I'll probably never get there again, but or I don't think they've ever played in this venue. But thoughts on this one? Have you been? Does this make you any less confident that Alabama's going to win this game?
No, I care less about football. So this, like, if they had Alabama's schedule and had those footballs, then I'd be worried. But okay. I think, brother, at the end of the day, I feel like what is really going to happen here is we're going to get a little truth serum. We are going to realize real quick that either A, the Big Ten is legit and they're potentially going to win another national championship, or B, they ain't played nobody. So I do feel like this is going to be a close football game, but more importantly, I think it tells us, can Georgia win it all? Can Ole Miss win it all? Can Ohio State win it all? This is the true test for me. And I'm absolutely looking forward to it. And just the fact to have Indiana lose and that coach crying on the sideline, you know, it'd just be worth it. It would be worth it.
Yeah, it's just such a unique position, right, for Alabama to be the underdog.
Yeah.
But I think you nailed it there. I think you hit something very important, that this is just such a critical spot for the SEC.
Yeah.
To kind of swing back some momentum. Mm-hmm. That many people believe the Big Ten. I mean, I can't tell. I mean, there's still Big Ten idiots in the comments, Shane, from Ohio State beating Tennessee and how, like, you know, the Big Ten has surpassed the SEC because they got two quality teams now.
You know, you know what it reminds me of? Like the Olympics. And we're, I'm like, how the hell did we lose the 400 meters? You know, it's like, I don't really follow. But I'm starting to watch, like, well, that's okay. That's okay. We still got the rest of the track and field here. We'll be fine. So it's for me, it just kind of tells me, you know, are we going to win this whole thing or are we going to lose the Olympics, you know?
Like this is playing Russia or something. Indiana's Russia.
Exactly. It's like the gymnastics.
Something you never cared about before. You're intimately watching every absolutely. Second.
Yeah, I've never watched any Chinese gymnastics, but now I'm completely dialed in to see what those Chinese Hoosiers are going to do. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. But shit ain't bite it, Shane. I can't wait to revisit the truth serum after the game, Shane. How about this? Will Shin show up, though, if Alabama whoops that ass? I don't know.
Shin will be here.
Okay.
Because he's a Texas fan, too, you know? he can justify their losses now, you know?
All right, so, man, I think that's going to be quite the showdown, though.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for it.
Are you going into that one? Is there, you know, I see the footballs, right? But I do feel like there is some distinct strength and weaknesses on both of these teams. Is there a matchup that you're looking at, like if you're saying these guys win in this area, I feel like Alabama can win?
Yeah, well, one thing that really stood out to me, and again, weaker competition, you nailed that.
Yeah.
But just how efficient Indiana is on third downs. Mm-hmm. Number one in the country on offense, number three in the country on defense. Alabama's got to win that.
Yeah.
And they have done it before. I mean, remember that first Georgia game where they won, Kirby Smart came in. I can't remember exactly how efficient they were, but I think it was like 13 of 16 or something.
Yeah.
And Kirby's like, by God, I've been coaching a long time. I don't think a team's ever gone 13 of 16 on third down on me.
Yeah.
But they did it. And hell, we got a lot more respect for Georgia playing in Athens than we do Indiana. I don't care where the damn game's played. So it's in Alabama to do that, to win the third down battle. We got to win it on defense because, again, Indiana's been elite on offense, converting on third down. So I think that'll be critical. And I think Alabama, if they can win the line of scrimmage, Indiana apparently is decent on the line of scrimmage, but I still don't buy that they have an SEC line of scrimmage. I think Alabama could potentially dominate there.
At the end of the day, it's America versus China. Who you? Maybe Russia, you know, like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I guess
the Russian guy. Yeah.
What was that guy's name? Drago?
Drago.
That's Signetti.
Drago,
right?
Signetti. You never knew what his last name was, but that's what it was.
All right, so hey, we got any other thoughts on these other games? So again, we got Tuesday, we got Tennessee, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but that On3 is reporting Rodney Garner, the defensive line coach, will be back. So I think that's big, not necessarily for this game, but for next season. And it sounds like, Shane, just sounds like, because people keep asking about what Tennessee's doing at quarterback. Sounds like they're kind of locked in right now. Top target is Cincinnati quarterback Brendan Sorsby. I don't know much about him, but apparently he's highly, highly efficient. So I'm not saying he's going to be the quarterback next year, but I'm saying he's the target based on what I'm hearing. Any thoughts on any of that?
I'm glad Coach is coming back, and you can always tell when you hear the players talk, right? And the players love him. He's been able to produce a lot of talent, so I'm excited for another season. But as far as, again, the portal, I'm holding off, right? I want to see everything play out before I just overreact to something. So,
sounds like you don't want to get your heart set on a guy and then him go play for Russia Signetti over here.
Did it, done it, got the T-shirt. Let's let it play out. But I will say we plan on having a watch party, so we'll be watching that one. So if you guys ain't got nothing to do and you want to watch the Tennessee game with us, be sure to pop in, and we'll be going live with it.
Any thoughts on and then after that, what else we got here? I mean, they announced today, Shane, All-American tight end for Vanderbilt, Eli Stowers.
Yeah.
He says, F it. Off to the NFL. He's not going to play in the bowl game. So that could hurt us against Iowa and their farm boys that ain't got nothing to do but play football, according to Cousin Shade. But, you know, does that change anything? Maybe that may shave a couple miles off you.
It does, because I felt like him and – Pavia were like two peas in the pod, but you know, he's been up in New York this whole time and probably just hasn't even made it back. Hasn't texted him. It's like, hey, are we cool? You know? So, I feel like that kind of rattles, but it also shows me a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes, because I really felt like at the start of the year, halfway through the year, this was probably the most galvanized football team in the Southeastern Conference. It was them against the world. But now, I know it's just one opt-out, but it's a big one, Mike, and that does worry me a little bit. Doesn't worry my Brooks walking shoes as much. But, but yeah, who knows? Who knows, brother?
How about the Cheez-It Bowl? We got that coming up around the bend here. Shane, Texas, Michigan. Michigan in shambles.
Uh-huh.
Got a new coach. He's not going to coach in this one, obviously, but Texas got no running backs, apparently. How about that?
That'll be on Wednesday. The cheesiest. I'm like, are they always going to run the same commercial till we die? You know?
I think so.
It works. It works. Interesting, right? I mean, a lot of interesting storylines coming into this one. So maybe it's worth checking out. I do feel like, brother, I any chance that you got Texas and Michigan in a football game, it should be electric. And it should be one that's remembered for a long, long time. So, I feel like this is an opportunity to springboard, because Texas got egg on their face, man. They fell short. They had high expectations. And I feel like this is an opportunity to just kind of launch into 2026. And Michigan, hell, you know, they just finally got a coach. And, you know, they're still trying to fill each other out. So, yeah, I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for Texas to just kill Michigan.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I think you could say a lot of the same things about Mississippi State. Yep. Playing in the Duke Mayo Bowl, Shane. Levy potentially getting deuced with Mayo over here. But, you know, they need a big win here to get some momentum. Now, this is a tricky one, Shane, because they play at night, first day the portal's open.
Yeah.
So apparently that's why nobody wanted to play in this damn game, because they're like, my God, we got to deal with the portal. We're going to be pretty far behind. Now, again, they're working behind the scenes. Let's not be naive and just think they're going to start on Friday. But, you know, it's a weird position to be in, because other schools will probably be hosting guys, trying to get them signed.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mississippi State's going to be playing a damn bowl game. You know, that's a tough spot to be in for Jeff Lebby and company. But they signed up because they want to keep playing football. They want to get Kamario Taylor or some more reps, which 100% I get it. If you don't earn the right to make a bowl game and they say, hey, you want to go bowl game? I'll be like, hell yeah, let's play another one. Because, you know, we got a lot of young talent on this roster, and this would be their, you know, another taste of success, perhaps.
That's me sitting there at the Chinese buffet, and they say, I'm cooked, man, I'm done. And then they're like, they just brought out some new fresh sesame chicken. I'm like, maybe one more plate. One more plate. That's what we got going on, brother. The practices are so valuable. So I feel like behind the scenes, yes, it may hurt them with the portal, but there's a lot of roster that will stay intact that I feel like will earn a lot more. They'll gain a lot. Just like Kirby Smart talked about earlier, I feel like these practices are so valuable, especially for a team like Mississippi State.
Right. And You know what else is valuable, Shane?
What's that, my friend?
There's nothing more valuable than the legend.
Legend. JR. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted, cool name, Shane, Turkey Slamma.
Whoa.
Turkey.
Welcome to the family.
And we also had Woody Pig 17. Welcome to the family. He said he's been a listener for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Just became a member, so we appreciate you,
Woody Pig. Hell yeah. Damn, he hit the Powerball. DM me.
He's like, you know what? If it's my day,
it'd be a cousin.
Yeah, it's gonna be theirs too. You know what?
Yeah, hell yeah. He's just really frugal with it. You know. You know, $1 billion goes quick.
Well, buddy, anything else before we hop off here?
No, look forward to seeing you guys again tomorrow. We're locked and loaded, brother. We're talking about all these great games, but you mentioned the portal's right around the corner, so we're going to have tons and tons of coverage for you for that. So be sure to have those notifications on, because you just never know when SEC Mike is going live. But you will if you have those notifications on. So appreciate everybody hanging out. I appreciate everybody hitting the thumbs up. That truly does help out as well. And tonight's shout outs, Mike, they go to, thanks JP, goes out to Shin, Cousin JR, Tolkien, All Day Trey, and Derek, Effin, Henry. Thank you guys so much, and I look forward to seeing y'all again.
Crab legs are expensive, Shane, when you eat 5 pounds. All right, buddy, that's going to do it. We'll be here tomorrow. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.